Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. We're going to be looking at Isaiah 54, John 20, Daniel 6, and Ruth 1. So if you're taking notes or if you've got a bunch of fingers, just stick them in those passages. Let's look at Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 8. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that thou didst not travail with child, for more than the children of the desolate, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. And in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now there is the central theme which Nathan in that last hymn blew it. It gave it away. It's even me. Lord, do something with me, for me, for your great mercy's sake. There is a central theme in all these verses which I'm going to read, but we're going to look at them individually. And it's going to challenge. I want it to challenge us. In the gospel, when the gospel's preached, it challenges the new man. It challenges the flesh to mortify the deeds of the flesh and to be renewed in the spirit. But that theme, what is that theme? Well, in this verse, these verses, specifically verse 5 and verse 8, thy and my, for thy Maker, your Maker, is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, your Redeemer, my Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. And in verse 8, I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Now, in these verses here, there's a lot of things spoken. It's lovely talk of fearing not, verse 4, not being ashamed or confounded, of a Maker, a husband. It speaks of the God of the whole earth. But it doesn't do us any real lasting good if we cannot say from a regenerated, born anew heart, he's my Maker. He's my Redeemer. He's my husband, thy Redeemer. Here's the challenge. Can we with certainty, everyone who's listening, can we with certainty exclaim that this immutable, this holy, harmless, undefiled one, Maker, husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, based upon God's word of promise to me and to us, can we say that he is our Redeemer? Can we say that? May it be so with everyone in this room this morning, before we leave this assembly, even me. May God have mercy on me for his great name's sake. He is my Savior. He is our Savior. He's my brother. He's my friend. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 28 through 31. Let's go back up. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So that's the setting. So now he's with them. Verse 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then Christ specifically addresses Thomas. Now they're all there, but his focus is on Thomas. He says to Thomas, "Reach thither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Specifically, our Lord addresses the one who was absent. I'm not saying he was an unbeliever. I'm just stating the facts that we know in the Scripture. He was absent. The Scripture says he, Thomas, was not with them. That's what the text plainly, clearly states. He wasn't gathered together the first time with his brethren. We may say he was providentially hindered. I know we throw those terms around. We can't make it, or something happens. We were providentially hindered. He missed the blessing. He missed the first blessing. But if he's the Lord's sheep, he's going to get the blessing. He just didn't get it 8 days prior. For whatever reason, he wasn't there. He wasn't there. But the Savior always reaches the heart and touches the soul. For he says, look at what he says. Tells him to put his finger in his hands, and his hand is thrust in his side. And he says, "Be not faithless, but believing." Now, he's a believer. He's one of the disciples. He's a believer. We still have the flesh, don't we? It's a lot like Bruce made a comment in Bible class. The world glitters, and we're like little kids, you know, glitters, and we run after it. And we don't think about what we're doing. We look like, I forgot the brethren, or I forgot. That's what we do. And this is what Thomas did. Whatever he did, Christ says, don't be faithless. So he was walking in the flesh. And I know we have bills to pay, taxes to pay. We have jobs to attend. And that's what we do. We understand that. But if you leave it to this world, you leave it to this world, sports or anything like that, they play on Wednesdays, they play on Sundays. So if you're going to do that, be prepared to be faithless, be in the flesh. You're going to do stuff, it's going to take over, but the Lord says, you know, first day of the week, first day the saints gather together. So whatever was going on with Thomas, Christ just gets right to the point. Don't be not faithless, but believing. But he was a disciple. He was just perhaps a wandering sheep. Whatever the situation is, the cure for our current unbelief is always faith. Faith in Christ, faith by Christ, the faith of Christ. We must see this as unbelief robs us of present joy and rich peace found only in the Redeemer and in his words in the book. What's Thomas's response? But I had to bury somebody. I had a marriage to go to. I had some property that I bought. Isn't this what the scripture says when we're coming to the marriage feast and they reject them? Well, I got this to do. I got this to do. I got. The Lord gets to the heart of the matter and he says, don't be faithless, but believing. And then Thomas says, believingly, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Enough said. It's as though Christ says, now, Thomas, walk in faith and walk with me. You're specific, you're personal, you're loving kinsman. I am that I am. It's almost as though he said, and was quoting Amos 3:3, two can't walk together except they be agreed. It's like Bruce made a comment about Tommy Robbins. And basically every pastor we've had for the last 35 years in our conferences, they come in and they preach the gospel. They preach it better than me. I don't have any question about that. But as Spurgeon's dad says, my son can preach. He may preach it better, but he can't preach a better gospel. No, there's only one gospel. And every person we have in here, we're united in fellowship. It's just beautiful. Or when we go to a conference, we gather with the brethren. We're walking together because we agree. Do I agree with what this book says about us, about ourselves? Not the person sitting next to you, not mom and dad, about yourself. You're born in sin. We will not have Christ to reign over us. We do not love him. We do not worship him. We love ourselves, we worship ourselves. That's what he says. We can't save ourselves. We tried. We're like that woman with the issue of blood. She spends everything she had and grew worse until she touched the hem of she, personally, specifically, intimately, my Lord and my God. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And you're familiar with all these plagues. I could have picked a bunch more, but I thought, well, let's just stick with four. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 23. Daniel chapter 6. These Daniel's cohorts are trying to get him caught. And they knew that they would catch him if it had to do with his God. That's the only way they could trip Daniel up. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Wherefore, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that said you couldn't bow and worship and do anything other than the God of Nebuchadnezzar, when he knew this was signed, he went into his house, his windows being opened in the chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. So whatever the laws of this land are, and it's easy for me to say right now, but whatever the laws of this land are, whatever they become, we're going to gather together. We're going to gather together. That's what God's people do. Now, some of them, they may have put a sign of a fish and then meet secretly, but we're going to gather together. So Daniel did this before. Now, these men who were trying to catch him, they assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Then they came near to the king and they said, didn't you sign a decree that every man that shall seek a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? He said, yeah, I did that. And they said, well, Daniel's doing it. Well, the king was grieved that he had been tricked. He saw what was going on. But Medes and Persians can't be altered. So in verse 18, we'll skip down to verse 18. Then the king went into this palace and passed the night fasting. neither were instruments of music brought in before him, and the sleep went from him. Then the king rose early the next morning, and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever, my God. Not your God. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me for as much as before him, God, innocency, was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him. My God. The king couldn't say that. Those men who cornered Daniel couldn't say that. My God, as opposed to your God. In the Egyptians and the Israelites, he says in Exodus very specifically, the Lord put a separation between you and them. Those who believe in the grace of God, in God, in his gospel, the Lord's put a difference between them, us, and those who believe in works and merit to base salvation. The God who chose us before time, sent his Son in time, and called, quickened, and sealed us unto himself in our time of salvation. This my God, the God of all who believe, who is sovereign over every creature, every bug, every atom, who can and does still deliver his babes from the arms of sin, Satan, and this dying world of woe. My God. Can we say that this morning? My God. But look at what he says. For as much as before my God, innocency was found. For as much as we have the innocency of the blood of the Lamb upon us and shed for us. That's the innocency he's talking about, not us. When God says, I see the blood, I'll pass over you. My God, thy Redeemer. Justice is satisfied. The wrath cannot be meted out twice. O our God, my Redeemer, thank you for free, matchless, pardoning grace, which is never left up to us. Lastly, Ruth chapter 1. This is beautiful. Ruth chapter 1. I'll find it here. There we go. Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 through 18. You know the story. Naomi's husband's died. She's got two daughters. She's like, I've got nothing in this land. I'm going to go back to my father's. Ruth chapter 1. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they cried. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee and with thee to thy people. And Naomi said, no, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that you may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them and having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So you got two women, you got two daughters. One of them said, that sounds reasonable. kissed her, showed compassion, and went back to her people. But Ruth, Jacob, Esau. But Ruth, she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law, Naomi said, has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return, go after your sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, thy God, my God." Oh, to see somebody enabled by the Holy Spirit to not let go until God blesses them. Like Jacob, I'm not going to leave. I know it's tough. We don't know what we're going to face. The gospel's in the minority. The gospel's not popular. The gospel's hated. But that's okay. Because Matt just read in Psalms, God is for me. God is for his people. Can you say that? Can I say that? I'm going to stand up here a long time preaching for, it doesn't matter. My concern is that while I'm preaching to others, I may be a castaway. So I look at this and prepare this, and I've got my, well, I've got it crossed out, us, because I don't want it to sound selfish, but is this God the God, my God? Is he my maker? Is he my husband? Is he my redeemer? Your God, my God, where you die, I will die, and I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded, that's what the gospel does. It's not popular. It's not popular. It's not going to get you a lot of money. But it's going to get you something far more worthy. It's going to get you that thing that Mary had, that one thing needful, Christ and him crucified. When she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking. God's people follow Christ regardless of the cost. Ruth, do we have any Ruths here this morning? My God, even me. Peter says, "To whom shall we go? To whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life." And that's years and years ago, Melinda and I were looking for other churches. Not that we were looking to leave this church, but we were looking for places that preach the same thing. And we thought we found a place up in St. Louis. Years ago, we didn't even have care. We went up there, and it was meeting in the guy's home. And he's very intellectual. He knew church history like the back of his hand, and he knew Greek and Hebrew. He was very scholarly. And we were going up there several months, and then he says, well, he announced to the people, he says, we're gonna go down to Texas. We're leaving. We're moving. And everybody was upset, and so we were spending lunch with them after everybody left. And I said, why are you going? He says, well, I said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to go down, I'm going to preach. I'm going to be the principal at a Baptist, seminary. And I'm like, well, there's they don't preach the gospel. He goes, I know that. He goes, I've been under that stuff before, I can be under it again. And I thought, as much as I admired the guy and as smart as he was, that was probably one of the stupidest things I'd ever heard. And we would drove home, we're like, nope, I couldn't. Once having tasted of the richness, the freeness, the fullness of the gospel, that's what he says in Paul. In Galatians, Paul says in Galatians, how can you who you began in the Spirit, you're going to be made perfect in the law? You can't do it. Why are you doing it? He says, I'm in doubt of you. And the whole illustration, the pearl of great price, that's what he's talking about. He sold everything. Lock, stock, and barrel, sold everything. to hang on to that pearl, which is Christ, his gospel. And it's the same thing with children. As for me in my house, said Joshua, as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to bring my kids and my children, as long as they're on my responsibility, under the gospel of the grace of God, because that will save them. And I would love to have my children. I would love to have my parents. I would love to have my friends, my neighbors say, my God, my God. Yes, Christ, you Christ, is our Lord, my God, our Redeemer, my Redeemer. He's life to us. He's peace to us. He's hope for us. He's love to us. He's righteousness in us. He's grace unto us. Why, without Christ, the world would be a living, actual, bona fide hell. It would be miserable. Separation from Christ. I shudder just to think of it. I pray Christ and Christ alone is our personal, specific, unique, intimate God and Redeemer this day. Today, if you'll hear his voice, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Come to him. He's never cast out anyone who's cried for mercy. Why? Because he's put that cry for mercy in there. May God be honored and glorified. Nathan, would you close us?